Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
I'll bet you might have guessed who I was going to bring on tonight. You're listening to the Bob Siegel Show, and our guest, she came on to give us some cautions and some warnings a few weeks ago. Now she's going to give her assessment of what happened in last week's election. And obviously, we know that not all of the information has come in, and Ruth can't tell you everything yet because she doesn't know everything. But boy, from the little bit I've chit-chatted with her, she knows a lot. Listen and learn. Ruth Wise of Election Integrity Project, welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show.
Thank you, Bob. Good evening.
Good evening to you. Well, quite a week we've had. Well, it's probably ongoing with you.
Indeed. Still moving quite quickly.
So let me just ask the obvious. Did Newsom win with a resounding victory? Did he win at all? And again, ladies and gentlemen, she's not here to endorse a candidate. She's just here to talk about what happened. It's a nonpartisan organization.
Right. Our concern about the electoral process is the way that it's handled and whether or not opportunities for fraud and mismanagement and all that kind of stuff are there. And that's our big concern. We can't tell you definitively, you know, this is how much somebody should have won by or did won, but, you know, that's not what we do. But one would hope, and we had large numbers of observers in the field, both at voting locations, but primarily in the registrar's offices where they are processing all of these vote-by-mail ballots. And one would hope to see in an election that you could feel would be trustworthy, you would hope to see a lot of procedural, everything is being done well, it's being transparent, welcoming people to watch, explaining what's going on, and just generally see that it's all very precise and very trustworthy. And what we see in so many places in California is complete and total chaos. So when you go in there and look around, everything is chaotic, mountains of things everywhere, people not really necessarily knowing what they are doing, and a lot of efforts to block people from watching. Some counties kept observers out entirely. They even put dark paper or something over the windows and doors. So, you know, we have a constitutional right in this state to observe every aspect of the procedures for elections. And when you show up and say, okay, I'm here to watch, and they say, sorry, and they lock the door against you, and they tell you lies, like, well, nothing's going on, when we know there's a lot going on, that just starts to paint a picture and create a system of mistrust. And so it's no wonder then that people ask the kinds of questions that you just asked. Did he really win? Can we trust the results? We don't know, because we're not being given answers to the proper questions that we should be asking. And it's very, very frustrating from county to county to see the mismanagement, the numbers of ballots that are being returned undeliverable, mountains and mountains of them.
Ruth, do we have any record, at least so far, of how many people claimed that they went down to vote and were told that they already voted? Because I heard in one county it was like 75%. Of course, that was on the first day. I don't know if it held that figure to the next day, but...
Yeah,
just
we
asking.
Don't have those numbers, but we have multiple places where that did indeed happen. And what we're trying to drill down now is, was it a poll worker error in which they were reading the electronic poll book incorrectly and they really were not seeing what they thought they were seeing? Or was it accurate information given to the voter that somehow the records are screwed up? Or were these a whole lot of voters who were voted for in advance because so many duplicate ballots were set up? We don't know the answer.
Well, I know one thing, and we have a surprise for our audience because we have an actual witness that happened to. And it turned out to be none other than my producer, Brendan Thomas. Brendan, just take about a minute. We don't want to take up too much of Ruth's time, about a minute. What happened to you when you went to vote?
So I received my mail-in ballot, as usual, in August. And immediately my first thought is, because of our last election and how many fraudulent reports were coming out, I knew for sure I wanted to go into a poll and in person and physically vote in there instead, because I know my vote would actually count in there, I felt like. So I show up there, I give my information to them, and they let me know, oh, actually, you already voted, actually. And I was shocked by that, because again, I never turned in my mail-in ballot. My mail-in ballot was in my car the entire time. Never took it out. No one opened it. Nothing. And in fact, right after I finished polling, just in case, I went over to my shred machine inside my house and I shredded the ballot just in case anything else happened there. The mail-in ballot specifically. So sure enough, I had to fill out this form in order to say, yes, I want to re-vote again, number one. Then the next thing I know, the next morning, I'm noticing four or five different of my friends on Facebook announce that, yeah, we had to go through the same thing. We had to sign a paperwork, and it said that we even voted as well. And I even remember, too, asking them, hey, who did I vote for then, if that's the case? Oh, we're not allowed to give you that information. Yeah, it's due. And I said, well, wait, if it's my vote, I should know who I voted for, right? And they said, no, due to discrepancy and secrecy.
And no point showing your identification, because they're not even allowed to ask for identification.
Well, I think they did. And even then they said, yeah, you already voted in our information, it says.
I thought, Ruth Wise, well, first of all, Ruth, how many times have you heard this story like Brendan's this last week? How typical is this? And can you clarify us on the election, on the law about the, I understood that we're not even allowed to ask for ID in California. Is that mistaken?
That is, we're not allowed to ask. Okay. No, we're not allowed to ask for ID. What they do have to ask you to do is to provide your name and address in order to check in the vote.
Oh, well, that'll take care of it, because nobody could write down a fake I've heard of elections, literally, I've heard of elections where Acorn was signing up people and they were signing up Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck and Bart Simpson. Isn't this just a repeat of the 2020 November, Ruth?
Well, I think there were some really new twists on this one, because what we're finding in this election is a lot of these votes that are being counted were actually sample ballots that were returned to the elections office. And by law or by edict of the Secretary of State, they have to accept a sample ballot as a vote. So if voters somehow, you know, threw their sample ballot away, or someone got a hold of it and someone voted their sample ballot, then that one would be taken and counted, and then when you go in with your other ballot, your real ballot in your hand, they can tell you, hey, you've already voted, and you haven't. Somebody else, you know, voted for you. That's one of the many scenarios under which that could happen. But we had mountains and mountains and mountains of those sample ballots that came in and were being counted as regular ballots.
That is really something else. Ruth, I remember communicating with you early on this week. Over the internet, there are a lot of groups. I belong to one, recall Gavin Newsom on Facebook, and they were talking about this special online poll. I don't remember the exact one, but there's probably a bunch where people were going to just go and take a poll online and declare who they voted for and see how many it adds up to. Now, I wanted to run that by you. You said some very interesting things to me. So to our audience, what are obviously those polls are well-intentioned, but what are the pitfalls of that?
Well, they would be very unscientific, for starters. Anybody could say anything they wanted to. And secondly, they could be invaded by a bunch of bots that you hear about all the time, where they're not real people with real votes, but they're just coming in to skew the results of that particular survey. And above all, the people who voted a certain way, if this is being conducted, for example, by the Recall Nielsen people, then the people who are going to get online and be part of that procedure would be mostly their people anyway. And so you're not really going to get any real numbers from a survey of that nature.
Ruth, tell us again what Election Integrity Project does in its makeup, and then very specifically, what is Election Integrity Project doing to get to the bottom of this last election? Obviously, not enough time has gone by, but you're in the process of getting to the bottom of things. Anything that you can tell us, I'm sure there's a lot going on behind the scenes, we understand that. What is your organization doing?
Well, we try to warn registrars and the Secretary of State well in advance of election of the problems in their voter rolls, which will then cause them to mail out duplicate ballots, ballots to people who are no longer here, people who are deceased. So far, they've pretty much merely dismissed anything we send them, but it's turned out to be very accurate. And then during election time, we send armies of very well-trained observers out to see what's going on and to report back to us. And we are still collecting and analyzing, we've gotten well over 1,000 incident reports so far, and many of them are still flooding in. So there's a lot more to be addressed, and our attorneys are going to look at the situation. We're going to see if there's anything specific that needs to be addressed for this election. But much of the evidence is just simply going to be added to the evidence we've already amassed and which is being used in our current lawsuit, which people can read at our website if they want to see what our lawsuit's all about. This is an amazing lawsuit that can really make a very big difference. So we hope people will support it. And the first thing you can do is go download the complaint and read it at EIP-CA.com. And I think it'll really make you excited about some of the possibilities for the future of California if we can win this lawsuit.
Wow, excited about the future of California. That seems like a pipe dream, and yet we have brave people like you standing on the edge. Again, Ruth is with a nonpartisan organization, but I will say it, King Newsom, His Royal Majesty, extended his emergency decree from COVID to say that we have to send out ballots to the home for the sake of COVID. All they have to do is say the magic word health, or we're doing this for your safety, and now they feel they can do anything. Ruth, some parting thoughts to our audience.
Parting thought, Bob, is that the legislature in California was so excited about how well it worked in 2020 to mandate that everyone be mailed a vote by mail ballot, and they repeated it in this election. It's now no longer about COVID. It's about great results in elections, and they have just finished passing the law that and signed it into law to make it permanent every election in the state of California.
Yeah, well, it was successful, all right. It was clear cheating, and ladies and gentlemen, you need to know that at the national level, they're trying to pass this mandate that all states, including places like Texas and Florida that are doing it right, are going to have to do the mail-in ballots, and that's the least of what they're going to make them do. On the other hand, I'm not sure these tyrants feel like they even need Congress anymore. We are living under a dictatorship right now. It's a dictatorship, ladies and gentlemen. Ruth, thank you so much. Keep up the good work, and God bless you. You're a very courageous woman, and we think the world of you here on this program.
Thank you, Bob, and we'll give you more information when we get it.
I hope you can start coming on regularly, maybe every few weeks or once a month or something like that, to give us reports, because we want to stay right on top of this.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, Ruth, God bless you.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.